ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 5 एंटाइटल प्रहलाद द सेंटली सन ऑफ हिरण्यकश्यपु। दिस इज टेक्स्ट नंबर 5। श्री प्रहलाद उवाच तत्साधु मन्ये सुरवर्य देहिनां सदा समुद्विग्न धियाम सद्ग्रहात् हित्वात्म पापपातं ग्रमन्दकूपम् वनं गतो यद्धरिमाश्रयेते। श्रीप्रह्लाद उवाच तत्साधु मन्ये सुरवर्य देहिनां सदा समुद्विग्न धियाम सद्ग्रहात् हित्वात्म पातं ग्रमन्दकूपम् वनं गतो यद्धरिमाश्रयेत। श्रीप्रह्लाद उवाच तत्साधु मन्ये सुरवर्य देहिनां सदा समुद्विग्न धियाम सद्ग्रहात् हित्वात्म पातं ग्रमन्दकूपम् वनं गतो यद्धरिमाश्रयेत। Translation. Prahlad Maharaj replied, O best of the Asuras, king of the demons, As far as I have learned from my spiritual master, any person who has accepted a temporary body and temporary household life is certainly embarrassed by anxiety because of having fallen in a dark well where there is no water but only suffering. One should give up this position and go to the forest, Vana. More clearly, one should go to Vrindavan, where only Krishna consciousness is prevalent, and one should thus take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Hiranyakashipu thought that Prahlad, being nothing but a small boy with no actual experience, might reply with something pleasing, but nothing practical. Prahlad Maharaj, however, being an exalted devotee, had acquired all the qualities of education. Yasyaista Bhaktir Bhagavati Akinchana Sarvair Gunair Tatra Samastase Sura Harava Bhaktas Kuto Mahadguna Mano Ratam Syati Dhavato Bahi. One who has unflinching devotional faith in Krishna consistently manifests all the good qualities of Krishna and the demigods. However, he who has no devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead has no good qualifications because he is engaged in mental concoction in material existence, which is the external feature of the Lord. So-called educated philosophers and scientists who are simply on the mental platform cannot distinguish between what is actually Sat, eternal, and what is Asat, temporary. The Vedic injunction is Asato Ma Jyotir Gamaya. Everyone should give up the platform of temporary existence and approach the eternal platform. The soul is eternal, and the topics concerning the eternal soul are actually knowledge. Prahlad Maharaj confirmed this by saying that if one wants success in life, he should immediately understand from the right sources what is his self-interest and how he should mold his life in spiritual consciousness. One should understand himself to be a part and parcel of Krishna and thus completely take shelter of his lotus feet for guaranteed spiritual success. Everyone in the material world is in the bodily conception, struggling for hard existence, life after life. Prahlad Maharaj therefore recommended that to stop this material condition of repeated birth and death, one should go to the forest, Vana. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutaha Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Shute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ramo Hare Ramo 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 Hare 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 Krishna. I'd like to welcome all of you all for today's very auspicious Narasingh Chaturdasi festival. So today morning we are speaking from the Srimad Bhagavatam, the 7th canto, the pastime is of Lord Narasingadev. So the way in which I'll be narrating this pastime is from the point of view of achieving a dream. All of us have a very big dream to achieve, and therefore as we are striving to achieve this dream, almost like an impossible dream, there are many hurdles, there are many obstacles, and there are many things that have to be kept in mind. Who better than Prahlad to guide us how to achieve this dream? What we are all aspiring for, to one day have darshan of the Lord, to one day be in the presence of the Lord. Prahlad has already done it. And we find that Prahlad's dream is being fulfilled at some point in his life. So we will analyze the life of Prahlad, and we'll analyze the story of Narasingadev's appearance from the point of view of how to achieve a dream in life, and what Prahlad did to be able to achieve his dream. This whole pastime starts with Yudhishthir Maharaj's question to Narad Muni about the partiality of God. Yudhishthir Maharaj is thinking that God is supposed to be impartial, but why does he behave partial towards his devotees? And then Narad Muni narrates the entire pastime to kind of substantiate that and to help Yudhishthira Maharaj understand that. The interesting part of the story is that the main character of the story is Narad himself. The whole reason for which this whole pastime happens, Prahlad's perfection, is because of Narad himself. But the most amazing thing is that though Narad is supposed to be the hero of this pastime because he is the one who inspired Prahlad, Narad doesn't ever show himself to be like a hero of the pastime. I mean, even when Narasingadev appears and Prahlad Maharaj is with a garland standing in front of Narasingadev, we don't find Narad Muni middle, you know, between Narasingadev and Prahlad for a photo session, you know. Naturally, he is the cause of Prahlad's, you know, devotion. So here Narad Muni is telling Yudhishthir Maharaj about the impartiality of the Lord. Suppose there are 10 patients who go to a doctor, and what is the duty of the doctor? The duty of the doctor is to treat all the patients equally. Now when we say that the doctor has to treat all the patients equally, what does it mean? Does it mean that he gives the same medicine to all the patients? No. He gives different medicines to different patients according to the type of disease. To some patients he may give really bitter medicine, and to some patients he may give some really sweet medicine, depending on what the disease is, depending on what the condition is. It doesn't mean that the Lord is impartial, or rather he is partial from the point of how he treats the individual. The Lord is impartial from the point of results. When different people go to the patient, the result is same. The result is that they get cured. So when different people approach the Lord may be giving different treatments to the people, but the result is same. So Prahlad may get love and affection from the Lord, and Hiranyakashipu may get a surgery from the Lord, but the result is same. From that point of view, we find that there is impartiality. But ultimately, our progress and our purification, our growth, depends on our nature. The kind of nature we exhibit, the kind of attitude we show in our devotion, that is the kind of result we will get, and that is the extent to which purification will happen. Just by hanging around in the process of Krishna consciousness, just by going to different yatras, just by being in the association of devotees, doesn't mean purification will happen. While we are in the association of devotees, what do we do? While we are going to these different holy places, what do we do? Our attitude is more important than just physically being there to tick mark. One time there was a group of disciples that went to a guru, and they told the guru that we are all going for pilgrimage. So the guru told them, why do you want to go for a pilgrimage? The disciples said, we want to improve our devotion, therefore we want to go for pilgrimage. So the guru told them, get me a Karela, a bitter gourd. So they all went and got one bitter gourd. The Guru told them, do me a favor. Wherever you go, whichever holy place you go, you take this Kerala with you. And any temple you go, any form of the Lord you see, you keep the Kerala in front of the deities, you keep the Kerala, you know, you take the Kerala with you to all the holy places. When you have bath in the Ganga, you dip with the Kerala. And after finishing the whole pilgrimage, you come back and give me the Kerala. So these people went and did everything that the Guru told. The Kerala was like a constant companion, part of the pilgrimage, part of the yatra. And then finally, after they came back, the Guru said, cook this Kerala and get. So they cooked the Kerala and got. And he said, taste it now. They tasted, Kerala was bitter. So he said, you went to so many pilgrimage places, you went to so many holy places, the Kerala should have become sweet by now. Why is the Kerala bitter? Then the Guru told them, it's not that just by doing these activities physically, actually purification happens. Some extent, yes, it is true. But the faster extent of purification happens when we do all these activities with the right attitude, with the right consciousness, with the right mood, with the right intention. And therefore, this whole episode of Prahlad Maharaj is not just about one boy's story who met God. It's about one boy's story who, because of the right attitude that he carried, because of the right intention that he had, he got a chance to fulfill his dream and meet God. The first thing, whenever you think about any dream, is that you ask yourself this question, is this dream really my dream? Many times, in the material world, we are all having borrowed dreams. Typically, when students enter into colleges, engineering, medical, most of the time it's not their dream. It is their parents' dream that they are trying to fulfill. Or it is some friend's dream that they are hanging on to. So many times in the material world, when we are running after a dream, it's not our dream. It is somebody else's dream we are trying to fulfill. Spiritually also, it's true. We may not have the ability, the qualification and the wisdom to have the right dream. And therefore, we may have to follow somebody else's dream. Prahlad Maharaj, in one sense, was a result of Narad Muni's dream. Narad Muni had a dream. The dream that he had was, in the womb of Kayadu will be born a devotee. And he will be a devotee who will be the most amazing devotee the world has ever seen. That was Narad Muni's dream. And if you study Prahlad's life, it was actually trying to fulfill that dream of Narad Muni. And therefore, Narad Muni, he not only put effort in saving Kayadu, not only put effort in trying to rescue her from Indra, all the demigods who were trying to eventually kill the child that was born from Kayadu, but he also took the trouble of educating Prahlad within the womb of his mother. Can you imagine what a torture it is for Narad Muni? He is teaching, suppose you are doing a Bhakti Shastri program, you know, and the only one student is there in that Bhakti Shastri class, and you have to give like months and months of classes, and that one student who is sitting there also is sleeping. What enthusiasm will be there to teach, you know? Means it's quite depressing. Narad Muni had to go through that. But he had the conviction that though Kayadu may not be attentive, though Kayadu may not be actually benefiting, the child within the womb of Kayadu is benefiting. This is almost like preaching on Skype or something, you know? You can't see the person. You can't, you know, talk to that person. But assuming that your person is hearing, you know? It's quite frustrating when you do these sessions. I tried a couple of times doing Skype sessions. And most of the time, you don't know whether the connection is on or off. Yeah. We are assuming giving class and saying the connection is on. After half an hour, you realize the connection is off. And you have to repeat the whole thing again, you know. Fortunately for Narad Muni, it didn't happen that the connection went off. Prahlad was attentively hearing and absorbing. Our dream, what we carry in our lives, may be somebody else's dream. The Acharyas had a dream. In every town and village, the holy name will be spread. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, and from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all of them had this huge mega dream. And we are somehow joined a part of that dream. And so many people try their best to fulfill the dream. like Bhaktisiddhanta's dream, Srila Prabhupada tried to fulfill it in his best possible way. Lord Chaitanya had a dream that the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, they fulfilled his dream by actually venturing into Vrindavan and re-establishing the lost holy places, writing books. So essentially, initially when we think of a dream, it may be somebody else's dream. But as long as we are interested and we are sincerely wanting to make that dream our dream, till that point of time, it's still okay borrowing dreams from somebody else. Somebody recently sent me a very interesting story which really made a lot of sense. One time there was a journalist who was talking to one devotee of Vitthal, and he wanted to know from this devotee of Vitthal about his experience going every year to Pandharpur, you know. And so this journalist said, "How old are you?" He said, "He's about 80 years old." So how many years you have been going for this pilgrimage? 70 years. So he said, in 70 years of your going every year to this pilgrimage, have you ever seen Vitthal in your life? He said, "No, I have never seen Vitthal." This journalist said, "If you have never seen Vitthal in 70 years, what is the hope you will see in future also? Why are you wasting your time at this age?" This fellow, this devotee, he in turn asked this fellow, this journalist, a question. He said, "Can I ask you a question?" He said, "The place wherever you have come from, are there dogs in different people's houses?" He said, "Yes, of course, every house has a dog nowadays." So in the night, when suppose a thief comes and enters into some house, what does the dog do? Naturally, the dog starts barking, seeing a thief, seeing some intruder, some unknown person. Now, when one dog starts barking, seeing a thief or an unknown person, then next dog, the next house, he also starts barking. And the next dog in the next house, he also starts barking. And very soon there are 100 dogs barking. And out of the 100 dogs, 99 dogs have not seen the thief. Only one fellow has seen the thief. But why do these 99 dogs bark? Because they have faith. Jai Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagavan. The 99 dogs bark because they have faith that this one dog at least has seen the thief. Similarly, there are many acharyas, Tukaram Maharaj, Namdev, so many big acharyas who have seen Vitthal. I may not have seen Vitthal, but because they are seeing Vitthal and they are claiming that they have seen Vitthal, I am also barking. I am also following in their footsteps. I will keep going based on their faith, based on their conviction. And therefore, Prahlad Maharaj, because of his association with Narad Muni, he could share a dream. He could make Narad Muni's dream his own dream. Association with a devotee is one thing, but having intense desire to associate with a devotee is a totally different thing. In fact, when we associate with a devotee, it depends on with what kind of intensity we associate with a devotee. There are many, many people who associate with devotees. All of us, in one sense, are associating with devotees only. But why doesn't some transformation, like what happened to Prahlad, happen in our lives? The difference between the way we associate with devotee and the way Prahlad associates with devotees is the intensity. And therefore, when we have intense desire within our heart, that intense desire manifests in the form of a reality. When we want to study, when we have an intense desire of studying, we go to university and there, in the association of people who are also having intense desire to study, we study. Of course, if you go to university and you associate with people who have no desire to study, you end up not studying also. When we want to make money, you go to a place where there are people who associate, gather with an intense desire of making money, and then you end up making money. If you want to have a fit body, you go to a place where there are many people who have an intense desire of having a fit body, and then you end up having a fit body yourself. And therefore, when we want to really develop our own dream, the first thing is, are we in the association of those type of people who have the intense desire of having such a dream?
If we are in the association of the wrong type of people, you end up having a weak dream. And therefore, Prahlad's qualification was that he found somebody who had a very intense desire for having a big dream. And Prahlad decided to hang on to that person, connect with that person. And therefore, much later we find Prahlad Maharaj talking to his father Hiranyakashipu, and he tells him that he should smear the dust of the lotus feet of a devotee, Vaishnav, upon his head. What does that mean? From Prahlad Maharaj's point of view, it means that we completely humble ourselves and submit ourselves to a devotee. And then eventually the devotee's dream becomes our dream. What is a sadhu's role in our life? What is a guru's role in our life? The guru, in one hand, he is holding the hand of a disciple. And in the other hand, the guru is holding the hand of God. So both the hands, one is the hand of a disciple and one is the hand of God. The role of a guru is to connect the hand of God with the hand of his disciple. And once he does that, he steps back. When a marriage ceremony is happening, the purohit, the role of the pandit, is to tie the knot between the husband and wife. And he steps back. He can't cast the knot and stand all the time, you know. That's not the role of the pandit. He can't do fera with the husband and wife, you know. Ho gaya, knot tie ho gaya, to baju mein jaane ka. Look at Narad Muni's personality. He made sure that he had on one hand Prahlad's hand, on the other hand Lord Narasingdev's hand. He brought them together and he stepped back. And then an entire pastime unfolds where Narad Muni is not really present. When Narad Muni is not really visibly there, but he is always there in the gratitude of Prahlad Maharaj. That's the role of a spiritual master. Prahlad Maharaj, when we find that he is manifesting such qualities which are amazing, we understand that Prahlad has got taste for the holy name, taste for having great faith in the dream that Narad Muni has shared with him. Today, now it's the mango season, though we don't see mangoes too much nowadays, you know. But mango season is a season where mangoes are extremely tasty. But if you reach a mango orchard in a non-mango season, though the trees are there, you will not find mangoes hanging there. And therefore, we will be disappointed. If you want to find mangoes, if you want to eat mangoes, you go to the tree in the right season. And therefore, only when it flowers, only when it bears fruit, then those mangoes become tasty. Similarly, association of devotees, satsang, is like a mango orchard. And it flowers and fruits only in the season of faith. Only when you have intense faith, only in that season you will find mangoes coming. And that too, generally, these fruits take their own time to ripen. It doesn't ripen immediately. If you eat a mango which is shaped like a mango, but inside it is not ripe, then you will only taste something very sour. So, because Prahlad Maharaj decided to embrace the dream of Narad Muni, doesn't mean that the dream of Narad Muni becomes his dream. The second thing that one has to do for somebody else's dream becoming your dream is, I have to start clearly seeing the dream myself. That means there has to be some endeavor on a personal front for somebody else's dream to become your dream. Prahlad Maharaj's life began in his previous life. His connection with Narasingadev began in his previous life. In a previous life, previous birth, Prahlad Maharaj was born in a very low family. And he, young man, somehow he fell in love with another young woman. And somehow they were not socially accepted. So they had to meet in some place where nobody would find them. So Prahlad, he found a temple in a very deserted place, like in a forest. And when he went to the temple, he found the temple is entirely dirty, you know, unclean. That temple happened to be a temple of Narasingadev. And he actually broomed the temple, cleaned the temple, not really for the sake of the Lord, but for the sake of their meeting. And eventually, because he actually did that, because he actually cleaned the temple of the Lord for the pleasure of the Lord, it actually ended up pleasing Narasingadev. And therefore, eventually, in his next life, he actually got a facility to be one of the close associates of the Lord. So you can imagine that Prahlad Maharaj, it's not that he was not part of the dream of Narad Muni. Narad Muni wished it, but he also had his own endeavors in place. Prahlad Maharaj, the mood in which he actually accepted Narad Muni's dream indicates how the dream had become an integral part of himself. Fast forwarding the whole story, Hiranyakashipu, the father of Prahlad, was a very intense demon. And he was such a powerful demon that practically all the demigods, all the universal controllers were under his subjugation. He had what is known as an eye-based remote control system. So he had to just turn his eye up and whatever he want would happen. If he turned his eye up, the sun would, you know, kind of become softer and it would not be so hot. If he turned his eye up, it will start showering slight breezes and slight rains. And if the rain became a little too much, he would look his eye up again, then the intensity of the rain would decrease also, you know. So he was controlling the demigods just by looking at them and glancing at them. Just imagine the kind of intense control that he had over the demigods. And such a demon, he had one child, one boy, who was absolutely out of his control. That's the irony of the material world, you know. There is always a but in your life, you know. Somebody who is there just to mess up your perfect life. What you think is a perfect life. So Hiranyakashipu had Prahlad Maharaj in his life. And he handed over Prahlad to the best teachers that he had in his kingdom. Shanda Namarka. They had an international school where they were teaching the Asuras the best of diplomacy. The best of, you know, how to become perfect demoniac king. And naturally, Shanda Namarka were very good at it. So Prahlad, after a certain amount of education, he was called by his father. And the father very kindly, because he had a lot of hope on this child, future, you know, Hiranyakashipu in making. So naturally, he wanted to know how much has that impact of Hiranyakashipu's association, Hiranyakashipu's sangha influenced his son Prahlad. So he called Prahlad and asked him, what have you learned from your school, from your teachers? And this is the verse that Prahlad quotes. Tat sadumanye suravarya dehinam sada samudvigna dhyam asad grahat hitvatmapatam gramandakupam vanam gatoya dharima shreyete. Can you imagine, Prahlad Maharaj is telling Hiranyakashipu, the first thing that he learned in his school, as far as his understanding is, Prahlad is telling Hiranyakashipu, as far as I have learned from my spiritual master, that means all that he has learned from Shanda Namarka has gone blank. That means he has learned nothing from Shanda Namarka, though he has been months and months with them. And though he has been with Narad Muni 5 years back, that education that he learned from Narad Muni 5 years back in the womb of his mother, about 5 years, you know, 3 months back, you know, that remained in his mind. So essentially, he says that any person who has accepted temporary body and temporary household life is certainly embarrassed by anxiety because of having fallen in a deep dark well where there is no water but only suffering. One should give up this position and go to Vrindavan and take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prahlad Maharaj actually tells Hiranyakashipu, the attached householder is like a silkworm who weaves his own cocoon and becomes trapped in it. So he's telling Hiranyakashipu, you think that you have such a big palace, you think that you have so much wealth, you are like a silkworm, you are making your own cocoon and you are so much trapped up that you cannot get out of this place. Hiranyakashipu, from his point of view, what is important in life is ornamentation. From Hiranyakashipu's point of life, what is important is exhibiting your opulences. But from Prahlad Maharaj's point of view, more important than ornamentation is clothing yourself. Just imagine somebody has superb ornaments, really well decorated with ornaments, but no clothes on his body. What is the point in having ornaments without clothes? From Prahlad Maharaj's point of view, clothing is taking shelter of the Lord. Clothing is taking the holy names of the Lord. Hiranyakashipu had all ornamentation except clothing. So Prahlad Maharaj is telling Hiranyakashipu, pehle kapde pehen lo. First wear clothes and then wear ornaments. Hiranyakashipu went fast forward, wearing only ornaments and forgot to wear clothes. Prahlad Maharaj not only absorbed the dream of Narad Muni, not only made the dream of Narad Muni his own dream, but he also had felt the compulsion to follow the dream. The question is, does my dream compel me to follow it? Many times we have first class dreams, but the dream doesn't inspire us enough to follow the dream. Somebody might say, I want to climb Mount Everest. You don't even climb a mountain which is behind your house. So, when we talk about a dream, does the dream really inspire you to follow the dream? Prahlad Maharaj was in a situation where he had to choose between a life of comfort and a life of anxiety. He had to choose between a life of values and a life of compromise. He had to choose between a life of giving up and a life of fighting. Prahlad Maharaj decided to choose the tough one, the life of fighting, the life of values, the life of, you know, going against his father's wishes. Many times when we ourselves go through certain situations where somebody just speaks a nasty word at us, we get so disturbed, we get so agitated. And many times we become depressed, we become very angry, and we tend to want to take revenge. Or at best, we want to protect ourselves. So, when Krishna put Prahlad in the situation, if Prahlad remained in connection with Hiranyakashipu's laws, if he continued chanting, Om Hiranyakashipaya Namaha, and at home, when he is in his room, private room, he will chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Life would have been very easy for him, you know. I mean, Prahlad has to just outside, externally, when Hiranyakashipu, anyway Hiranyakashipu calls him once in a few months. He doesn't call him every day, what's happening, you know. So whenever Hiranyakashipu calls him, then he says, Acha, Prahlad, Shandan Amarka taught me diplomacy, he taught me how to make difference between friend and enemy, and Shandan Amarka taught me how to, you know, earn more money, cheat people. Hiranyakashipu would have been ecstasy. And then Prahlad goes back home and starts Hare Krishna, you know. Life would have been very simple for Prahlad in one sense. But Prahlad, he decided to live a life where there was no compromise. And when you want to follow a dream without any compromise, that shows that you really intensely value that dream. Intensely are ready to pursue that dream to achieve it. So, Prahlad, he lived in the palace of Hiranyakashipu without any fear. The reason Prahlad could live in the palace of Hiranyakashipu without any fear, in spite of going against everything that Hiranyakashipu stood for, was because he had complete conviction that I am not the physical body, I am the spirit soul. The understanding and faith that I am the spirit soul leads you to great conviction because the soul is indestructible. The physical body may be destroyed by circumstances, by situations, by people, but the Atma, the spirit soul which is within the body, cannot be destroyed. Prahlad Maharaj, the dream that he was pursuing was based on the level of the spirit soul. And therefore, because he had great conviction at the level of understanding of the basics of Krishna consciousness, there was no question of being fearful. Hiranyakashipu, on the other hand, he had everything in life except bhakti. Prahlad had nothing except bhakti. Both of them had almost opposite lives, you know, son and father, but living diametrically opposite lives. It may happen in today's world also, you know. I know so many sons and fathers who have nothing in common. So here, Hiranyakashipu, he was a master in everything. Master in Gyan, master in Ashtang Yoga, master in, you know, asanas. Now, people today struggle to do asanas. I mean, fad of yoga is so much on, but how many people can actually do Tadasana? Tadasana is standing on the toe, with a hand on top, and with one leg on top, on your knees. Very difficult. Hiranyakashipu could stand on Tadasana for not days, for months together at a stretch. Just imagine you're doing yoga in a city like Bombay, and you're sitting in one place, closing your eyes, sitting in a lotus posture. What all things can happen? First of all, flies, you know, they're buzzing in your ears, you know. Just when you want to focus your mind, so many flies are running around. And then there's a mosquito, who pierces you intensely, you know. And then there is temperature changes, you know, somebody puts on the AC, and somebody puts on the fan, you know. You want to express so many things, because so many things are going on internally. So essentially, our observations of the world, the way we deal with the world, affects us and disturbs us a lot. Just imagine how much control Hiranyakashipu had, that he was completely unaffected by the externals. That means unlimited amount of ants were biting his flesh. Ants were eating away his flesh. In spite of so much inconvenience, he could still stand straight. He didn't take a break for thousands of years, literally. So you can imagine how intense Hiranyakashipu had control. We find in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Durvas Muni had a similar type of control. Unlimited amount of control. To the degree we want something else in life, to that degree we don't get bhakti, we don't get devotion. To the degree the only thing we want is bhakti, to that degree we experience the pleasure of Krishna consciousness, pleasure of devotion. Prahlad Maharaj wanted only bhakti, and Hiranyakashipu wanted only control. Hiranyakashipu got control and Prahlad got bhakti. Everything we get depends on what we want. Prahlad Maharaj, he was also doing his own austerities. But his austerities were very different from what Hiranyakashipu's austerities were. Prahlad Maharaj, his austerities didn't make him proud. When we find the Goswamis of Vrindavan, Raghunath Das Goswami, drinking one drop of buttermilk every 3 days. It's not that, you know, we can compare his austerity with Hiranyakashipu's austerity. After drinking one drop of buttermilk once in 3 days, Raghunath Das Goswami felt that I am wasting my time by drinking that one drop of buttermilk also. I could have spent that much time remembering Krishna. I would drink the water, drop of buttermilk, then I would go and wash my hands. That much time has gone. I am not able to remember Krishna. Hiranyakashipu was fixed in one place for years and thousands of years together, but his mind was not on God, but his mind was on control. His mind was on future control and present control. How much I am controlling my body in present, and how much I am going to control other people's bodies in future. And therefore, Prahlad's austerities is very different from Hiranyakashipu's austerities. When somebody who has practiced this kind of austerity, this kind of having desire for control, finally achieves the success of his austerity and gets all the control in the world, and then comes across one small child who doesn't want to fall in his control, he goes into depression. Hiranyakashipu, he went into depression after his child Prahlad started back answering him, you know. So Hiranyakashipu, as long as Hiranyakashipu was looking for happiness in his life, he didn't understand that as long as he looked for happiness, there is going to be suffering. Hiranyakashipu was intensely looking for happiness. And therefore, natural result of looking for so much happiness is that he was intensely suffering also. 99% people respect you. 99% people worship you. One person disrespects you and doesn't worship you. You forget the 99% who are respecting you and focus on the one person who is disrespecting you. Hiranyakashipu could have easily forgotten Prahlad. Usko chhod do. Baki 99 pe focus karte hai. No. Hiranyakashipu's focus was on that one Prahlad because his focus was on control. A person who wants to control wants 100% control. He cannot handle 99%. And therefore, Prahlad was the only problem in Hiranyakashipu's life. So, when Prahlad spoke this verse, Hiranyakashipu realized that Prahlad has to be treated. He sent back Prahlad with Shanda Namarga and he said, teach them, teach him properly. What nonsense have you taught him? So Shanda Namarga naturally took back Prahlad along with them. The nature of a person who is very proud is that he cannot handle other people's greatness. He cannot handle anybody standing in front of him. One time, a firefly, he prayed to Brahma, Lord Brahma, and Brahma appeared in front of the firefly. And he asked the firefly, what do you want? The firefly said that, I want to shine so brightly. The problem is sun is there. Make the sun shut off. Shut the sun off. Brahmaji said, no problem. He shut the sun off, then moon came. Firefly said, moon also shut it off, you know. In front of moon, I can't shine. So Brahmaji shut off the moon also. Then the stars are shining. He said, you shut off all the stars, put a cloud in front of the stars. The nature of somebody who is proud is that when anybody else comes in front of that person, he becomes jealous. He can't handle that. He can't deal with that. And therefore, the way he deals with that is by shutting them off. Prahlad Maharaj came in front of Hiranyakashipu and spoke something that he couldn't handle. And the only way a proud, pride person deals with such situation is by shutting them off. He tried to send Prahlad with Shanda Namarga and inspire Shanda Namarga, shut him off, make him stop speaking all these things. And Shanda Namarga were trying their best. Shanda Namarga took Prahlad Maharaj to their school and they probably had interrogation room, deprogramming room. And they took Prahlad Maharaj there and they started asking him, where did you learn this? This verse we never taught you. Where did you learn this verse from? You know? So Prahlad Maharaj, he was just completely, oblivious to what they were asking. He started talking to them about how being friends and enemy is not important. We have to see everybody as equal and all that. And then finally, Prahlad Maharaj spoke a very interesting verse. He said that just like an iron is attracted by a magnet, similarly, my heart is naturally attracted to the Lord. It's not that I have learned these things from somewhere else. It is our natural proclivities that are coming on from within me. What you have will naturally come out, will naturally manifest out. Depending on what kind of a person you are, you will see the same situation in different ways. One time, Lord Brahma, he appeared in front of three people. There were three yogis. One was named as Devendra, another was named as Danavendra, and another was named as Manavendra. And they had a meeting to contemplate the purpose of life. And they couldn't understand what exactly was the purpose of life. They couldn't come to a conclusion. So one fellow, they said that we are constantly making mistakes in life. And these mistakes are so subtle, they are invisible. And therefore, we need somebody who can give us guidance of what our mistakes are. Then only we can change. So one of them, he said, let's go to Lord Brahma and Brahma will tell us he is the father of the universe. Naturally, he will tell us what our mistakes are. So they all agreed and they all went to Lord Brahma. And they bowed down to Brahma and when Brahma saw all three of them coming, he was very pleased. And he asked them, my sons, are you all happy? So Devendra replied, yes, we are happy. But today there is a confusion in our heart and we have come to ask you. Please tell us how to deal with this confusion. Brahmaji closed his eyes and immediately he came to know what is the confusion going on in these people's hearts. And immediately he only uttered one word, one syllable, not even a word. He said, the. That's it. The. Now, then he asked them after uttering this, did you understand what I was saying? All of them said, yes, we understood. One of them went back. So, the same one single syllabus, that Brahmaji uttered, all three of them understood in three different ways. Devendra, he perceived the means daman. Daman means self-control, repression. That means he was thinking what Brahmaji is saying is that in heavenly planets, people enjoy too much. They drink too much, they have too much fun. Therefore, the way we shouldn't act in this way. The way we should act is the daman. Then we should do self-control. So Devendra started practicing self-control that he thought was the purpose of life, and that is what he thought he should do in his life. Then the next person, Danavendra, he interpreted the word the to mean daya or compassion. He concluded that violence is wrong, cruelty is wrong, and cruelty brings out the ferocious demon that is there within our heart. And therefore, we have to act compassionately, we act with daya, and that will deal with the cruelty. It will deal with our lower nature. And then Manavendra, he heard the word the, and he concluded the means dan, charity. So he said the purpose of life is that possession, over possession is demonic nature. And human nature is giving in charity. So he said the purpose of life is to give. Different people perceived the same word, the, and understood different things. If we hear the word the, God knows what we will understand. You know? Depends on our consciousness. You know, that is how spiritual knowledge is. We may be all travelers on the same path. We may essentially step out of our house trying to go towards the spiritual world. But depending on what our inner consciousness is, we will perceive how to reach there. Hiranyakashipu, after a few months of training, very private coaching classes with Shant and Amarka, when Shant and Amarka made sure Prahlad understood all the basics of demonic life, then Hiranyakashipu called Prahlad again. And this time, Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad, tell me, what is your most important understanding of knowledge that you have gained till now? Hiranyakashipu asked the wrong question, basically, you know. He shouldn't have asked what is the most important knowledge you learned in your life. If he didn't ask, Prahlad would have said something else. But Hiranyakashipu asked what is the most important knowledge you learned in your life, and therefore Prahlad said, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakhyam Atmanivedanam Iti Pumsharite Vishnu Bhaktischenava Lakshana Kriyeti Bhagavata Ada Tanmaye Dhitam Uttamam. Can you imagine what Hiranyakashipu is going through, you know? Shravanam Kirtanam is fine, but Shravanam Kirtanam should be of Hiranyakashipu. So he is saying Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. So Prahlad Maharaj knew that Hiranyakashipu can't handle, he will misunderstand, you know. If Prahlad only says Shravanam Kirtanam Smaranam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmanivedanam Padasevanam, Hiranyakashipu will say, wow, achai, ye sab to main hi chahta hun. Navida Bhakti for Hiranyakashipu. That is the process that was followed in, you know, in Hiranyakashipu's kingdom. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj, Shravanam Kirtanam, he said, then he specifically said Vishnu, you know, because he didn't want his father to misunderstand for too long. Prahlad Maharaj, after speaking these words, Hiranyakashipu couldn't handle it. He called those two teachers. He said, who has taught this fellow this knowledge now, you know? The teacher said, we have no idea. We have not taught him this for sure. Ye Shravanam Kirtanam verse to humko malum hi nahi hai. We have never heard this verse in our life, you know. Hiranyakashipu, he asked Prahlad Maharaj, where the hell have you got this knowledge from? Because he wanted to know who is the source of this knowledge. Definitely there was no internet, you know, because Google God doesn't exist that time, you know. Now if you want to, you will get everything on internet, you know. But Hiranyakashipu wanted to know, where did you get the 4G internet connection from, you know, so fast? Jai Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagwan ki. And Prahlad Maharaj, he answers in a very interesting way. He says, Matirna Krishne Parato Svatova Mito Bhibatyeta Graha Vratanam Adanta Gobir Vishatam Tamishram Puna Puna Charvita Charvananam. Prahlad Maharaj is telling Hiranyakashipu why he can't understand what he is talking. He says, because of their uncontrolled senses, Persons too addicted to materialistic life make progress towards hellish conditions and repeatedly chew that which has already been chewed. Their inclinations towards Krishna are never aroused, either by instructions of others or by their own efforts or by a combination of both. So, here, Prahlad Maharaj, he tells Hiranyakashipu that for such people who are strongly addicted to sense gratification, they are like a blind man following other blind man, only leading to a deep dark well. So he says, the only hope for such people is somehow or the other, if they smear the dust of the lotus feet of a Vaishnava on their head, on their body, and not just smear the lotus feet of dust of the lotus feet of the Vaishnava on their body, they have to somehow worship that Vaishnava, deal with that Vaishnava in a very in taking shelter of that Vaishnava, and only then such a person can get understand what I'm trying to say. When Hiranyakashipu hears Prahlad saying this, he just couldn't handle it. He threw Prahlad off his lap. And then Hiranyakashipu, he called all his demonic associates. And he told his demonic associates, this fellow is not my child. This fellow has not understood anything that I stand for. Because Hiranyakashipu actually at this point of time, he became highly insecure. Because he knew that the destruction of his life is lying in his own home, Prahlad. So he told his associates, go and kill this child. Do whatever you want, but kill this child. This led to the next stage of achieving Prahlad's dream. The next stage of achieving Prahlad's dream is, am I willing to pay the price for my dream? When you are dreaming of something, generally it is very easy to dream when you are sleeping in the night. But when you have to dream in the day, you have to pay the price. Because in the night you don't have to pay any price, when the night dreams are there. But in day dreams you have to pay a lot of price. Now is a time when there was a test where Prahlad was actually ready to pay the price for his dream. Narad Muni gave a fantastic dream and went away. But who has to actually show that he values the dream, he actually wants to achieve the dream? Prahlad. The role of a guru is to show you first class dream, kingdom of God, where every song is, every word is a song, every move is a dance. You feel, wow, amazing, I want to go to kingdom of God. Then guru goes for his travel, next preaching tour. And then you are left over here thinking, how do you deal with the challenges that come? And that's when Prahlad Maharaj teaches us that it's not that we just need to have a dream, but we have to be ready to pay any price to achieve the dream. And therefore, Hiranyakashipu tortures Prahlad. Can you imagine the kind of torture that this small 5-year-old child is undergoing? Thrown in a pit of snakes. Even in the pit of snakes, Prahlad exhibited the faith that he always had. The snakes, seeing his fearlessness, they actually not just, you know, didn't harm him, but they actually started assisting him by lying down, becoming a soft cushion. Prahlad was thrown in a situation where there were spears being poked at Prahlad. Prahlad was constantly thinking about how he was not the physical body, but he was a spirit soul. And he realized that the spears or whatever weapons cannot harm the soul. Prahlad was thrown from a hill, from top of a mountain. Now, can you imagine if you are in a situation where you are thrown from a mountain, what would you think? Prahlad, his faith was not changing when he was on top of the mountain, when he was in between, and when he was below. When he was thrown off the cliff, Prahlad didn't, he was not thinking, my dear Krishna, I worshipped you so much. Bas kya, fek diya mere ko, you know. And these people actually threw Prahlad off the cliff. And as he was falling off, in the middle of the air, Prahlad Maharaj didn't throw his bead bag. Bas ho gaya, nahi chahiye bead bag, you know. Prahlad Maharaj just had the same faith. And when he fell down and he fell in Lord Vishnu's hands, his faith didn't increase. Wow, I knew Vishnu would come, you know. His faith didn't double, triple, you know. His faith was exactly same on top, it is exactly same in between, it is exactly same below. That's the kind of faith that is needed to achieve your dream. Prahlad Maharaj was thrown, was given poison. He drank that poison thinking it is Charanamrita of the Lord. Prahlad Maharaj was put into a fire, and Hiranyakashipu's sister Holika, who had the boon of not being burnt by fire, was holding him just to make sure he doesn't run away. She got burnt and Prahlad walked out unharmed completely. You know. So essentially, Hiranyakashipu did everything possible to torture Prahlad, harm Prahlad. At the end of all the torture, Hiranyakashipu came to a conclusion. Very important conclusion for spiritualists to understand. Hiranyakashipu's conclusion was, this fellow is like a dog's tail. Sudregane. He will not change at all. And then, you know, Hiranyakashipu says, Vartamano vidurevai balo api ajado dhirayam na vismriti menaryam sunashepa iva prabhu. He says, this boy is merely a child, but he is completely fearless. Ajada dhir ayam. And not just that, he is sunashepa iva prabhu. Sunashepa iva prabhu means, he is like a dog's tail. He is like a dog's tail. He never forgets his connection with his master. Iva prabhu. This is what it needs to be a person who is ready to achieve his dream at any extent. Can you imagine a demon like Hiranyakashipu certified Prahlad as unchangeable? He certified Prahlad that this is a person, no matter what situation he is put in, he will run towards Vishnu only. He will be like a dog's tail. You make it straight, it comes back, you know. No matter how much situations you put in, you put a tube on the tail also. When you remove the tube, it will come back to its regular situation. And that's exactly what Hiranyakashipu did. He put Prahlad in all kinds of situations where there was a good chance he would forget Vishnu. But in every situation, he remembered Vishnu and he passed all those tests. And therefore, if somebody is ready to follow the truth, the path of truth, that person has to be ready to consume poison. Whenever and wherever somebody has ventured out on a path which is difficult, naturally that path has always led to consume poison. Accidents don't happen on curvy roads. Accidents happen on straight roads only. Highways, maximum accidents happen. It doesn't happen on this gully, on the streets, you know. Nothing happens because you can't go fast over there. So only when you are venturing very fast, that time accidents can happen. Therefore, when a devotee is going through difficulties, a devotee understands those difficulties are purposely put by the Lord to help us be alert and careful in our journey. Whenever we find obstacles, speed breakers, poison coming into our life, that actually makes us more alert while driving our car. Therefore, when one understands that there is a difference between God's grace and God's wish. If something happens as per our wish, we should consider it as God's grace. And if something doesn't happen as per our wish, then we consider it as God's wish. This is called as Hari Kripa and Hari Iccha. So if something happens as per our wish, we call it Hari Kripa. And if something happens not as per our wish, we call it Hari Iccha, God's grace. But actual devotee is somebody, if something doesn't happen by according to our way, he doesn't call it as God's wish. He doesn't call it a Hari Iccha, but he calls it as God's grace only. That's the great devotee. Prahlad Maharaj, for him to be able to qualify to achieve this dream, what he had to have was substance. Substance that in spite of difficulties, in spite of so much obstacles, no matter what, I am going to venture towards my dream. And that's what Prahlad Maharaj represents. The next quality of a dream is not that your dream should only be beneficial for you. Is your dream beneficial to others also? Most people have first class dreams. But their dreams are so selfish, so self-centered, that they don't want to think about others' benefit from their dream. Anyone who is a great devotee of the Lord when a great devotee dreams, he includes other people's progress in his dream. A great devotee never dreams only for his greatness. A great devotee always includes other people's progress in his dream also. And therefore Prahlad Maharaj, he always had the mood that if I want to achieve my dream, I'm not going alone. One time Krishna and Arjun, they were taking a walk. And while they were on a walk, an old Brahmana came begging. And taking pity on his condition, Arjun gave him a bag of gold coins. This Brahmana became very happy, enthusiastic, and he ran away. And as he ran into the forest, a group of robbers came, a thief came, robbed away all his gold coins. And he became sad again. The next day, Arjun and Krishna met the same Brahmana, and he was crying again, And Arjun once again took pity on this Brahmana, hearing his story, and gave him a big diamond. Brahmana became very happy and he ran, And when he took it home, this Brahmana kept the diamond in a pot. It was an old, unused pot. He thought, I'll keep it there, I'll use it, sell it later. So his wife, she went to fetch water from the river. And when she went to fetch water, the pot she was carrying fell down and broke. She came to the house to find if some other pot is there, and she found this pot. She took it, and as soon as she put the pot in the river, the diamond came out and disappeared. Again the next day, Krishna and Arjun saw this Brahmana crying. Arjun said, it looks like in his destiny there is no wealth. He'll remain poor Brahmana only. Krishna, he saw this Brahmana situation and he gave him two pennies, two small coins. And the Brahmana walked away. Arjun looked at Krishna and he said, if a bag of gold coins didn't satisfy him, if a diamond didn't satisfy him, what these two pennies is going to do to him? Krishna told him, just wait and watch. So the next day, so this Brahmana went with these two pennies. And he was cursing his fate that he lost a diamond, he lost that gold coin. Just at that time, he saw there was a fisherman who had caught a big fish. And he thought, anyway, these two pennies are worth nothing. Let me at least help this fish. He gave the two pennies to the fisherman and he was going to throw the fish into the water. Just at that time, he saw in the mouth of the fish there was something stuck because of which the fish was struggling. He put his hand in and removed it. It was the same diamond piece that had fallen down from the water, from the pot. He became very happy and he threw the fish into the water. He started jumping. I found it. And when he was jumping, I found it. This robber, he was passing by. And he thought that this fellow found him. And he came running, fell at his feet and gave the bag of gold coins to him. And he said, please forgive me. And he ran away. Now this Brahmana had the gold coin and the diamonds, The next day Krishna and Arjun came back and they found this fellow was happy. He had both gold coins and diamond. Arjuna was totally confused. He asked Krishna, what's going on over here, When I gave him diamond and gold coins, he was sad. You gave him two pennies, he became happy. Krishna told him, the difference between that time and this time is that when you gave him diamonds and gold coins, he was only thinking about how he'll enjoy, be happy in his life. But when I gave him two pennies, the first thing he thought was how he'll use it to serve somebody else. And the moment he thought about serving somebody else, he got prosperity in his life also. Essentially, this is how a devotee thinks. From a devotee's point of view, his prosperity is connected with others' prosperity. From a devotee's point of view, his achieving his dream is connected with helping others achieve their dreams. And therefore, Prahlad Maharaj, after he was sent back by Hiranyakashipu with his teachers, with a strict warning that, they have to... Because Hiranyakashipu was bewildered because he was not dying only. Now he didn't know what to do with him. Shandakamanika told him, don't worry. We have our father, Shukracharya. When Shukracharya comes, he will know how to handle this boy. Till then, we will take care of him. And they told him, don't you remember, you have control over the universe. You are all the demigods under your control. If you lift your eyes, everybody shakes, everybody shivers. Why are you scared of this boy? Let us handle him. Don't worry. Hiranyakashipu anyway had no choice, so he said okay, And both of them brought Prahlad Maharaj back to their school. And this time, when Prahlad Maharaj was brought back to the school, Prahlad Maharaj said, enough, I have practiced on my own, let me preach. So he started preaching to his friends. He gathered all of them during, whenever small breaks would happen, and he would start giving classes. Kaumaret acharet pragyo dharman bhagavataniha durlaba manusham janma tadapi adhruvam adhrat artadham.
So Prahlad Maharaj kept talking to his friends at every interval about how the human form of life is so valuable that one should utilize every moment of the human form of life. And Prahlad Maharaj says that bhakti has to be practiced right from the birth. Kaumaram acharet pragyo. And he's telling his friends, you're already too late. You're 5 years old. Too late to practice devotion. Start now. And like that he was giving everybody one beadbag, you know. So everybody in the classroom, they became so inspired by Prahlad's classes that they would wait for Shanda Namarga's classes get to get over so that they come to Prahlad and attend his classes. And Prahlad Maharaj really created a revolution in his class. Every child in the classroom has become influenced by Prahlad's teachings. And slowly, over a period of time, Prahlad became so inspiring to all these demons' children, that he became their leader. At certain point of time, Prahlad, the teachers of Prahlad, they said, we can't handle this boy anymore. He has become almost like a, you know, set up a small terrorist organization within our campus, you know, preaching, creating terrorists to intensely spread the holy name of Vishnu. Can you imagine? First of all, Hiranyakashipu is an international terrorist, and in his camp, Prahlad Maharaj has created an anti-terrorist squad, you know, in one sense. So these people were completely bewildered. They didn't know how to handle this Prahlad anymore. They took him back to Hiranyakashipu and they said, sorry, we can't handle him anymore. Please take him, handle him yourself. One thing is showing compassion to your friends, to your colleagues, to people whom you, who love you, who are easily amicable to you. Another thing is showing compassion to somebody who hates you. Prahlad Maharaj, he was not just showing compassion to his friends who loved him, but he was actually showing compassion to his father who hated him. And therefore, the mood of a devotee is that he doesn't want to achieve his dream alone. He wants to include everybody else in his dream, including those people who hate him. But, in fact, Prahlad Maharaj showed more compassion to his father than to all his friends. And how did he show compassion to his father? He showed compassion to his father by speaking the truth, by not compromising on what he had to say. As I was saying, if Prahlad Maharaj just to compromise a little bit, he would have had a happy life. He would have had a simultaneous Krishna conscious life as well as a great materially successful life. But Prahlad Maharaj didn't want that because he wanted compassion. He wanted to show compassion to his father. And sometimes compassion can be shown only when you help others have experience an earthquake in their life, you know. Prahlad Maharaj wanted to give Hiranyakashipu an experience of an earthquake. And that's why he was speaking those words that really instigated him like anything. The next phase of achieving a dream is to ask yourself, am I moving closer to the dream? My effort is there. My desire to help others is there. But am I actually going towards Krishna? Am I actually going towards achieving my dream? Hiranyakashipu asks him a famous question. He asks him, where do you get your strength from? So much power, no weapons are harming you, no snakes are biting you, elephant comes and salutes you, what's going on? Where did you get your power from? And Prahlad Maharaj shares his knowledge. He tells Hiranyakashipu, my dear father, the source of my strength is the same as the source of your strength. And he says that indeed the original source of all strengths is one. He is not only your strength or mine, but also the strength of everyone. Without him, no one can get any strength, whether moving or not moving, superior or inferior. Everyone, including Lord Brahma, is controlled by the strength of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hiranyakashipu, when he hears this, he asks Prahlad, where is your God? You are saying God is there everywhere. Is he there in this pillar also? Prahlad Maharaj, he doesn't even look at that pillar. I mean, it's not that Prahlad Maharaj asks Hiranyakashipu, please give me some time, let me do some research and come back. Knock, knock, aap ahe ke andar, you know. He doesn't ask Narasingadev, he doesn't do any verification test to see if Narasingadev is present or not. Innocent faith. He tells Hiranyakashipu, he is there everywhere. Hiranyakashipu has great faith in that pillar, because that pillar has been in his courtroom all his life. And every day he has been staring at that pillar only. And he knows for sure nothing can be inside that pillar. If something was there, it would have come out by now. Basically, you know. That was Hiranyakashipu's thought. And naturally, because Hiranyakashipu had great confidence in atheism, he had great confidence in the non-existence of God anywhere. Naturally, he had great faith in the non-existence of God on the pillar also. Prahlad Maharaj had great faith in theism, and he had great faith in the existence of God everywhere. And naturally, he didn't have to think whether God is there or not. He naturally knew God is everywhere. And then Hiranyakashipu asks Prahlad Maharaj, is he there in this pillar also? Prahlad says, yes, he is there in this pillar. And then this famous verse which I would want all of you all to chant together, where Narasingadev is actually appearing from this pillar. And as we are chanting this verse of Narasingadev appearing from this pillar, something will happen. I can assure you, something is definitely going to happen. So please intensely and sincerely chant along with me, and hopefully something will happen. Satyam vidhatum nijabhritya bhashitam. Satyam vidhatum nijabhritya bhashitam. Vyaptim cha bhuteshva kileshu chatmana. Vyaptim cha bhuteshva kileshu chatmana. Adrishyatat yad bhutarupam udvahan. Adrishyatat adbhutarupam udvahan. Stambe sabayam namrgam namanusham. Stambe sabayam namrgam namanusham. Satyam vidhatum nijabhritya bhashitam. Vyaptim cha bhuteshva kileshu chatmana. Adrishyatat yad adbhuta rupam udbhavan. Stambe sabhayam namrgam namanusham. To prove that the statement of his servant Prahlad Maharaj was substantial, in other words, to prove that the Supreme Lord is present everywhere, even within the pillar of an assembly hall, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, exhibited a wonderful form never before seen, the form that was neither that of a man nor that of a lion. Thus, the Lord appeared in his wonderful form in the assembly hall. Jai Narasingadev Bhagwan ki jai. Prahlad Maharaj ki jai.
Hare Krishna, devotees are requested to kindly sit down wherever they were sitting.
Ugramviram Mahavishnu Jalantam Sarvatomukam. Nandam Mahavishnu Jalantam Sarvatomukam. Narsimham Bhishanam Bhadram Mrityur Mrityur Namamyaham. Narsimham Bhishanam Bhadram Mrityur Mrityur Namamyaham. Namaste.